This is the Capricorn FM podcast.
Let's speak to the National Union of Public Service and Allied Workers in Limpopo, and they're reacting to the reports around the abduction and rape of two nurses at Gachueni Clinic. We're speaking to the Provincial Secretary, then Ntata Sekgota. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Gamalan. Good evening to the listeners.
Good evening. Good evening. Thank you. Appreciate your time. Well, what is your reaction to the reports around the abduction and rape of two nurses at the Gachueni Clinic?
Actually, to say looks is disturbed, I think it's an understatement. Actually, we are very angry over what happened to Gachueni Clinic, to the nurses that were affected, that were sexually assaulted. But of course, we think this picture paints what has been happening, like what we have been saying to the department, to say, before you can implement a 24-hour service in any facility, there should be some checks and balances. And hence, we went to the boardroom with the department to say, let's agree on the minimums, to say, let us draw a policy. Of course, the unions and the department, none of us are experts in the security industry. But we went all out to go and consult both parties, and we came back and we drew what we call 24-hour policy, and we all agreed on the contents of the policy. But what continues to be happening is that instead of the department as the implementing agency to be implementing what we have agreed upon, we see them signing agreements with service providers who are security security companies, substandard agreements. And we've been seeing this coming, because if you can see what happened just a week ago in Ntwane village, in around Skukuni, we saw the communities, the community there in Ntwane, pelting stones on the EMS personnel. And of course, there was no response from the department except to issue statements. We have seen that in the Beggarsford Clinic, where you saw a woman who was giving birth outside working hours. And we saw the community attacking the very same nurse, putting them in the social media with no proper protection. And we can even cite many other examples where things have been happening, but there was no response which were equal to the veracity of what was happening. But actually, what we also observed in Gachueni is that there's this other political movement which is happening, where people are using the health facility as the point of contesting power. I don't want to be mentioning political parties, but we know that political parties will go there and incite communities to go and fight against people who are giving service, basing their argument on what is happening in the community. But when we went to the very same facility last week to go and visit and do our own investigation, we were disappointed, because we found that even at the point of the gate, where they're supposed to be a lockable gate, the gate, you cannot even lock it. Mm. From the security house, which is just next to the gate, the door, you can't even lock it with a security butler. You go to the clinic, there's no butler anywhere. Even the doors, even at the windows, the nurses who are working inside there, they are just exposed. And the worst part, there's not even what you call a backup system, wherein even if lights can go off, something will be able to help in terms of improving the site. But we see the department still encouraging nurses to be doing 24 hours. Actually, what we even went further to find is with regard to the security. Of course, when we signed the very same 24-hour policy with the department, we set a minimum of 3 security officers. Of course, we were mindful that if we go to what we call an ideal clinic is a clinic that we foresee that in future, when we say we want a state-of-the-art type of a facility, we'll be having 4 security officials. But given the constraints in the department, they even negotiated to go to 3 security officials, whom one must be having a gun. But when you go to what happened at Gachueni, the security officials which was manning the place, none of those officials was having a gun. So meaning it was an easy route for them to get inside. But worst of it, you'll find that the departmental officials, especially in the level of the district, they even go and open 24 hours without consulting the very same 24-hour policy, forcing the nurses, especially nurses who are vocal and saying, we cannot perform 24 hours unless we meet the minimum. But people are being threatened. People are being threatened with no work, no pay, or else even being taken to disciplinary hearings.
So there is a policy, and is it in the policy that you have a minimum 3 security personnel? Of the 3, 1 must at least be armed.
The policy as it stands, it says there must be 3, of which 1 must be armed. That is what is happening. But what happened in actually clearly is that there were 3, of course. Obviously, we question even this 3, because we even had to interview one of the managers of the security company that is meaning at Rachel. He told us in no uncertain terms that I am here to supervise only 2 security officials. Actually, there's only one who was brought into the clinic because the other facility elsewhere was closed. So they said instead of them lingering, they better take this one and bring them to her.
In the night in question, there were 3 security personnel.
Yes, yes, indeed. There were 3.
Was one
but
armed?
They were but they were all unarmed.
They were all
unarmed. They were not equal to the task.
So,
yes, they were not all equal.
So you're saying one being armed is a minimum requirement. Does that mean that they can all be armed, it's allowed?
Yes, they can all be armed, it's allowed. But we are saying for a minimum, because the department always complains of lack of funds. So we are saying because now you want to mitigate for your lack of funds, we can do at least with one being armed. But when you check the service level agreement that has been signed between the said company and the department, the agreement does not mention anything about arming any of the security officials. Actually, this service level agreement applies almost to all the security companies that are meaning our clinics. And we think it's unfortunate.
Who is responsible for arming the security personnel?
Actually, when the service level agreement is signed and the proper money has been agreed upon between the security company and the department, it must be upon the company to arm their person. But if their agreements in terms of resources says we cannot afford to pay anyone with a gun, then the security company does not have anything to force them to bring people who are armed. But it's unfortunate because it exposes both the nurses and it also exposes the very same security officials.
You are saying they're signing substandard service level agreements. So you've touched on this issue of arming and so on. Are there other matters that you have not touched on that you're concerned about in terms of the agreements that they're signing with security companies?
No, of course, we are concerned about the same minimum, because what we are saying is that when you go to other facilities, you find that there are only 2. Rachwini was only fortunate because the other facility elsewhere it was closed. But what we are concerned about is that because these are developing incidences, the department was supposed to come to the party in terms of developing other strategies to cap such. For example, it is common that without a backup system, you cannot even operate if there can be criminals coming to the very same service. The other thing is the issue of the basic camera, which is supposed to be able to assist to give evidence. If you see what is happening now in Rachwin, police could have apprehended the very same perpetrators, but because there are no systems in place, especially a CCTV camera, which can at least be able to back up the police to say you can follow suit. If I should say what happened on the night, when the managers of the Department of Health were called, they were aware that the perpetrators ran somewhere. But because they are less resourced, there was no intervention that could have happened. And in our view, because this is the failure of the department, I think we are waiting for everything to settle down so that we can sit down with the workers and say, if your exposure was because of the weakness of the department, then we have to take the department head on so that they must compensate. Of course, we are aware that no amount of monetary compensation can be able to compensate for what happened. But we are saying if it calls that, there should be compensation. The trade union is available to assist those particular workers.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time. Good evening to you.
Thank you very much.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.